Bhakta Vrinda, Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda, Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda, Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, we're getting to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 30, the activities of the Prachetas, text number 30. Asaveva Varosmakam Ipsito Jagatapate Prasano Bhagavan Yesham Upavarga Guru Gati Asaveva Varosmakam Ipsito Jagatapate Prasano Bhagavan Yesham Upavarga Guru Gati Asaveva Varosmakam Ipsito Jagatapate Prasano Bhagavan Yesham Upavarga Guru Gati desired, Jagata of the universe, Pate, O Lord, Prasanna, satisfied, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yesham, with whom, Apavarga, of transcendental loving service. Guru, the teacher. Gati, the ultimate goal of life. Translation. O Lord of the universe, worship is the ultimate goal of our lives, and we pray that you will be satisfied with us. That is our benediction. We do not desire anything other than your full satisfaction. Please repeat. O Lord of the universe, you are the actual teacher of the science of devotional service. We are satisfied that your lordship is the ultimate goal of our lives. And we pray that you will be satisfied with us. That is our benediction. We do not desire anything other than your full satisfaction. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the words apavarga, guru, gatihi are very significant. According to Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate fact of the absolute truth. Ramayiti, Paramayiti, Bhagavaniti, Shabdite. The absolute truth is realized in three features: impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. The word apavarga means liberation. Apavarga means material existence. In material existence, one always works very hard, but is ultimately baffled. One then dies and has to accept another body to work very hard again. This is the cycle of material existence. Apavarga means just the opposite. Instead of working hard like cats and dogs, one returns home, back to Godhead. Liberation begins with merging into the Brahman effulgence of the Supreme Lord. This conception is held by the Gyani Sampradaya, philosophical speculators. But realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is higher. When a devotee understands that the Lord is satisfied, liberation or merging into the effulgence of the Lord is not very difficult. One has to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the impersonal Brahman effulgence, just as one has to approach the sun through the sunshine. It's not very difficult to merge into the impersonal effulgence of the Lord Brahman, but if one is satisfied, if one has satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I'm going to read that last sentence. It's not very difficult to merge into the impersonal effulgence of the Lord Brahman, if one has satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Gyanatimanandasya Gyananjana Salakya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Dishatarne Vanchakopatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki. I always ask for the blessings, the prayers of the Vaishnavas before trying to speak about Krishna and devotional service of the devotees of the Lord, and I don't want to make this any exception. There's one band that one time had a line that said, "And the love you take is equal to the love you make." In Krishna conscious terms, if we want the mercy, we have to give it. I've received a lot of mercy from you, Prabhus, and from the Dham, from Srila Prabhupada, from all directions. But if we don't share it and give it away, then it's said that it slips right through your fingers. It dissipates. So the program in Krishna consciousness, the essence of Srila Prabhupada's mood, the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is that we should eagerly try to share the blessings of the Lord, devotional service with others. if you may indulge me. I have some friends on the internet, and I know there's some others. Usually there's about 100 people watching. I think they would probably be very pleased if we all said a prayer for them. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Or as Srivas Pandit said, as recorded in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, may the entire world be blessed with the mercy of Krishna. May everyone become intoxicated with the holy names. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Apabharga Guru Gati are very significant. So of course we have that verse, Vedanti Tat Tattva Vidas Tattvam Yajgyanam Avyam Rameti Parmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdate. The absolute truth is encapsulated in that one verse. Three phases of the absolute truth. Learned Transcendentalist, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, also another verse that encapsulates the absolute truth. Pancha tattvatmakam krishnam bhakta rupa sarupakam bhaktavatara bhaktakyam namami bhakta shaktikam. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the supreme absolute truth, or as Prabhupada says in this one line, the ultimate fact of the absolute truth is the Supreme Lord Krishna. So to relish the humors or rasas of bhakti, of devotional service, Krishna appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he does so in five different features, in five different ways. And it's stated that he appears as the devotee, Bhakta Rupa, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Bhakta Sarupa, his immediate expansion, Nityananda Prabhu, or Balaram. His incarnation or plenary expansion, Advaita Acharya, Mahavishnu. His devotional energy, Gadadhar, Srimati Radharani. And also the marginal potency, the Jiva. This is our hero, because this is a local done good, just like you and I are all jivas, the marginal potency of the Lord. So Srivas embodies the perfection of the marginal Shakti, the living entity. So Bhaktakyam, the devotee of the Lord, Srivas and so many others, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that ontologically speaking, there is no difference between these five personalities. On the absolute platform, they're the same. Achintya Beta Beta. But then again, there are differences. And the Lord appears in this way to refute the immature understanding of the absolute truth that Brahman is everything. On the absolute platform, the worshipable and the worshiper are absolutely the same. You can't separate the two. That's called bhakti. The worshipable, the worshiper, and the worship. You can't have bhakti in Brahman. It says here in the purport, I better clarify that. If one merges into Brahman and is satisfied with forgetting one's individuality, one's eternal identity as the servant of Krishna, you won't be able to practice bhakti. That's why it's scorned by the Vaishnavas. They had no desire whatsoever to merge into Brahman. So the first three, Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are the predominators, they're the Prabhus. Two Prabhus and one Mahaprabhu. The other two are the energies of the Lord. Parasya Shaktir Vididaya Shruyate. The Lord has unlimited energies, but they're represented by Gadadhar and Srivas in the Pancha Tattva. So it's stated here that this Apabharga, the science of transcendental devotional service, is the path of liberation. And just opposite to that is Pavarga. It is the suffering of material existence. It's what all the conditioned souls forgetful of Krishna are undergoing. Srila Prabhupada, many times when having this word Apabharga, in a verse or in, coming to mind, he would always delineate on this process of pavarga. He says this pavarga breaks down into five syllables, pa pa, ba pa, and ma. And each syllable stands for a word or two. And he breaks it down saying this is the perfect definition of material existence. Pa stands for parishrama, hard labor. Or also, in another place, he says parabhava, defeat. The second, papa, stands for pena, foam. Like the, in Vrindavan, I used to see them all the time, the horses with the tangas loaded up with all kinds of bricks or weights or whatever, and the master is mercifully whipping them, and they'd be foaming at the mouth, and their whole body covered with sweat, and their wobbly legs running along to carry the weight under the heavy stick of the master. So that exemplifies our exhaustion of trying to be the enjoyer of this material world. Also in the ba stands for vyarta, or frustration. Another place Srila Prabhupada says bandha, or bondage. And then there's also bhaya, which means fear, bhava. And then last but not least, ma for mrityu, or death. So I was thinking, today being the glorious appearance anniversary of Srivas Thakur, that we might relate some of his qualities, some of his activities, give some feeble attempt to glorify him, and because there's so many wonderful pastimes. There's one place in the Chaitanya Bhagavat where it said, it would be impossible to enumerate all the pastimes of even one day of the Lord and his eternal associates. You couldn't do it. But anyway, there is a handful given in the scriptures, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and even that would be very difficult to squeeze into the allotted time for this class. So I thought, why don't we try to segue some of the pastimes in with the concepts of this pavarga? Did Srivas Pandit, did he suffer fear? Did he suffer frustration? Did he suffer defeat? Did he suffer death? Or did he transverse the path of upavarga? Now, by a outward perspective, just looking with one's rubber eyeballs, one might say, yeah, he went through those things. Just like I personally saw Srila Prabhupada quote-unquote die. I've seen a couple of my friends die, certainly grow old, get disease, exhaustion, or hard labor. Devotees work so hard. So do the devotees undergo these things? Yes and no. It needs the transcendental instructions of the spiritual master and the scriptures to help us understand properly how the devotees undergo these same things. And then again, they don't. There's an example given by Srila Prabhupada of the cat. The mother cat will pick up its kitten sometimes, and in its mouth will carry the kitten wherever it wants to take it. The kitten is very satisfied, very peaceful, very comfortable in the mouth of the cat. But when that same cat catches a mouse and carries it in its mouth, that mouse is full of anxiety, knowing that very soon it will die. Same activity being carried in the mouth of the cat, but two completely different results. So the devotees are undergoing some of these things mentioned. Even the exalted, eternal associates of the Lord, like Srivas Pandit. But they are on the path of upavarga. They aren't destined to return to this material world. And even when they're undergoing so many different things, they aren't suffering or anxious or fearful like the non-devotees. For example, let's start off with hard labor. The first one, pa. Do the devotees work hard? If they're good devotees, they sure do. No one worked harder than Srila Prabhupada. He certainly he ran circles around all of his disciples and probably most of his followers. He didn't even get warmed up and started on his transcendental mission of circling the globe 12, 13 times until his late 60s, early 70s. The time when most conditioned souls in human form are wanting to play cards or golf. He was redoubling his efforts to fulfill the instruction of his spiritual master and spread Krishna consciousness. And of course, that's the perfect example for his followers. Idle laziness and Krishna consciousness do not go very well together. Srila Prabhupada said, lazy and crazies, those are the two type of people we won't invite to live in our temples. The devotees, they're supposed to work very hard for the satisfaction of Guru, Vaishnavas, and Krishna. Very hard. But for the devotee, if he has attained this point where he is satisfying the Lord, where he is engaged in unmotivated service to Guru and Krishna, that's all he wants to do. For that devotee, he doesn't feel tired in his services, he feels enlivened in his service. I'll give you one example, Gaura Govinda Maharaj. One devotee, a disciple, approached him saying, Guru Maharaj, the temple president is trying to give me more service. I'm already fully engaged. I'm exhausted. I can't do any more. In fact, what I'm doing is very difficult. How can I take up any more? She was hoping to get some sympathy from her spiritual master. I'm just so exhausted. Please. And Gaura Govinda Maharaj gave an absolute statement wherein he said, if you're feeling tired in your service, you haven't served Krishna at all. In other words, when one is spiritually relishing the nectar that is there in pure service to Krishna, one doesn't take into account the weariness of the body. One is allotted to sleep a certain amount and eat a certain amount. That's taken care of automatically. You're destined a certain amount. The devotee, he is, Prabhupada said, every day is a festival in Krishna consciousness. If we're relishing this hearing and chanting, this surrendering process of wanting to please the Lord, that's our only benediction we seek, to fully satisfy Guru. At the end of the life, we should think, when we meet with our spiritual master, is he going to be pleased with us? Will he be proud to introduce us to his spiritual master and say, this is my disciple. He worked so hard for me. Or are we just coasting? We have to ask ourselves. If we maintain material desires while engaging in devotional service, then of course it seems like there's so many obstacles. It's so very difficult. The body is a bad bargain. It doesn't really want to cooperate in devotional service. That's the way it's been made by Krishna. It's going to. It is falling apart. But devotional service isn't limited by the body or the mind. Jayapataka Swami is, you know, such a wonderful example in our present context. Useless body. And yet, his desire to preach is only increasing. He's unstoppable. And that's the, Savaipum Saparo Dharma Yato Bhakti Yadhotsaday Haitki Apritiyatai Yatma Supersidity. You can't stop a devotee who simply wants to serve Krishna. Impossible. Time, space, material energy. These things don't obstruct the ladini potency, the execution of devotional service, pure devotional service. Devotional service is not of this world. That's why it says here, to serve the Supreme Brahman, you have to become Brahman. To live on the sun planet, we have to become fire. Pure devotional service begins with realizing who we are. Soul realization. What is that verse? Will it escape me now in such deep honesty? Samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. Devotion starts, pure devotion starts when we get off the bodily platform. So Srivas Thakur, that's all he did, was engage in devotional service. And would they get tired? Well, let's look at a couple of pastimes. About the pastime when for 21 hours Lord Chaitanya in the home of Srivasangan is exhibiting his godhood, exhibiting that he's the Supreme Lord, showing whatever form was the Ishtadeva of each devotee outside of Gauranga Leela, worshippers of Varaha, of Vishnu, of Nrisingadeva, of Any in Ramachandra, any in all forms were revealed. It went on, it went on, it went on. Their kirtans went on and on and on. And if I'm not mistaken, some of these evening kirtans would go for a night of Brahma. Am I correct in saying that? I vaguely remember that sometimes the Lord would just open it up and let's chant. Just like in the Rasalila. Am I right, Madananda? I can trust you. Has it ever been stated? Okay, scratch it. Put it on the back shelf, but somewhere I seem to remember that. But irregardless, that night, the night of Brahma, thank you very much, Prabhu. But to the devotees absorbed in chanting the holy names, did it seem like a long time? Oh God, when is class going to end? When is kirtan going to end? I got to eat. No, it was like half a snap. It was a moment. Maybe the sun's coming up. No! We don't want the drama to end at Chandrasekhar's house. Srivas Thakur playing Narada Muni. He comes at the beginning of the play with his stick. And he said, with his veena rather, and he says, I've just come from Vaikuntha. I was looking for my Lord and he wasn't there. Where is he gone? And then I realized, of course, he's descended to Navadvip Dham. All his associates and the Lord, they're in Navadvip. Let me hurry there. When the sun was rising, the devotees were cursing the sunrise. So cruel. They could never get enough. Never wanting it to end. And of course it doesn't. It's like the waves. Janani Vas Prabhu gave a class to the Russians the other day, talking about the waves of devotion. Such unlimited variety of rasas, humors, devotional experience, but it's all absolutely blissful. Beginning, middle, and end. So the devotees aren't tired like the karmis. I can't wait to punch out, you know, punch on the time clock. Prabhupada saw one man, he was standing on his roof for an hour while they were building the long building, and he called a manager. He said, you see that man leaning against the pile of bricks? I've been observing him. For the last hour, he hasn't done anything. He's a lazy fellow. Fire him immediately. Laziness has no place in Krishna consciousness. But the devotees would get tired. It's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sometimes the Lord would just dance them and chant and dance them to exhaustion in the gardens in Jagannath Puri. Srup Damodar had to approach the Lord and say, Lord, the devotees, they just can't go on. So what do? They take prasadam, sumptuous prasadam, they take some rest, and then? Oh no, we got to chant again. No, they can't wait. Immediately, start all over again. That's our program, constant engagement in the service of the Lord. That's the example set by Srivas Pandit, the Panchatattva. The Lord himself wanted to relish that, and so he appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with all his associates. So they may get tired, but not like the karmis. They may work hard. We're meant to work hard, but the result is glorious. The benediction we seek, the prayers we have, the mercy we want is just give me devotional service, allow me to serve you and please you. Then how about fear? Srivas Pandit was a very simple devotee. That's a great quality. It's not a disqualification, it's a glorious qualification of the Lord's devotee. Very simple. And also it said he was open-minded. When the kirtans were going on, in the very beginning, Advaitacharya had moved to Shantipur. Srivas Thakur, or Pandit, was seen as the head of all the Vaishnava Brahmins. And the kirtans would often go on at his house. Well, the neighbors who were not devotees were not too pleased. Their sleep was being disturbed by this loud chanting. You know, we take great pleasure, I certainly do, here in the Holy Dham. I mean, I know we have our rules, shut it down at 10 o'clock, but when you have the contrast of living in the West and all you hear are sirens, and, you know, people fighting and all passionate, ignorant sounds surrounding you. when you come to the Dham and you hear the holy names, man, what a relief. From all directions at any time. Pure nectar, but for the non-devotee, can't stand it. And so they were complaining to each other. This guy, Srivas, he and his brothers are so hungry because they're such lousy beggars. They're calling out in pain, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, wishing their bellies were filled. And they said, the Muslim king is going to come to our village and punish us. We're going to catch the flak. We should destroy his house, tear it down, throw it in the Ganga, drive Srivas out of town. And that morphed in the town gossip as it was going along. Morphed into the king's coming to arrest Srivas Pandit. He heard this rumor. Being a simple, open-minded devotee, he took it somewhat seriously. What does a devotee do when he's afraid? He prays to Krishna. Srivas went into his temple room, to his altar, and he began to meditatively worship Lord Nrisimhadev. Please protect me. The pure devotee has no other shelter. There is no protector in this world or anywhere besides Krishna. All others are fallible soldiers unless they are the servants of Krishna. Krishna and his devotees. So he was absorbed in meditating and worshiping Nrisimhadev. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not manifest his godhood yet. He was acting like a devotee, mad with love for Krishna, absorbed in the mood of an assistant of Srimati Radharani. But he was eager to manifest his godhood because the devotees, although personally satisfied, oh my goodness, Nimai, the arrogant scholar, has become a great devotee. If that's possible, no telling how many devotees can be made. No telling what lies right around the next corner with our desire for spreading Krishna's mercy and the holy names. So they were fully satisfied, but they were in such anxiety. People are burning up in the forest fire of material existence. They're suffering. They're taking birth again and again and again. Chewing the chews, suffering, horrible, abominable conditions. If only they could become devotees of the Lord. Seeing the suffering of the devotees, Chaitanya was just super eager to start the Sankirtan movement, to show them, I've come. You were praying for me. Wait till you prayed for me. I'm here. That time had not arrived yet. But being the Lord, as it says here, Parmaiti, Bhagavan Iti, being the Lord in the heart, he knew what Srivas was undergoing, some anxiety, some fear. He knew he was worshiping Nrisimhadev. So he went to his home. He went to the room of his temple, started pounding on the door. Srivas, open the door. Who are you calling? Who are you meditating on? It is I am he. Open the door. Srivas opens the door, and there he sees Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with a fiery effulgence, blinding effulgence. And then the Lord, he sits down in the asana, the asana of a hero, manifests four arms. He said, I am here. Didn't you recognize me? You prayed for me so long, and here I've been amongst you all this time. Please offer me prayers. Srivas, being a pure devotee of the Lord, didn't take four arms to convince him. Just being in the presence of his Lord and the Lord mercifully revealing to him, I'm here, began immediately to pray to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He basically took the prayers of Lord Brahma, praying to Krishna after he'd been bewildered, having stolen the calves and cowherd boys, and coming back and seeing they're all there. He said such wonderful prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, and Srivas took them in essence and morphed them a little for the glorification of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. O son of Jagannath Mishra, you appear with the most beautiful complexion of dazzling gold. You, O son of Mother Sachi, your garments are like lightning. And in this way, he glorified so many different qualities and features, glorifying him in relationship to his devotees in Gauranga Leela, even including that in your left hand you hold a morsel of yogurt and rice. Lord Chaitanya was so very pleased by these prayers. In fact, it said anyone, this is a little encouragement, who hears the prayer Srivas said at that time, they are guaranteed to become eternal servants of Krishna. Worth looking up and reading. He said, bring your family here. Bring everyone. Let them worship me. So Srivas immediately brought the whole family, brothers, wives, children, servants, maidservants, and they all came and they worshiped Lord Chaitanya. So ecstatic to be in the presence of their Supreme Lord and being given the opportunity to worship him. And then Lord Chaitanya said, by the way, don't tell anybody what just happened. Wow, that'd be a hard secret to keep. But that was the instruction of the Lord. Defeat. I like this one. Did Srivas Pandit ever get defeated? We know when Srila Prabhupada traversed the world preaching Krishna consciousness, he was never defeated by anybody. No scholar, no philosopher, no scientist, nothing, no one. But he did admit happily being defeated by his spiritual master when he first met him. He said, I was so happy, happily defeated. I recognize that here is a representative, proper representative, qualified to spread Krishna consciousness. And Srivas Thakur, one time he became defeated by Sarup Damodar Goswami. It was during the Rathyatra time. Lord Jagannath had left the temple and he'd gone to Gundicha. He had told his wife, Lakshmi, I'm going to be gone for a day. I'll be right back. Well, 2 days passed, 3 days passed, 4 days, 5 days, where's my husband? Lakshmi becomes disturbed. What is he doing going to the Skundicha, leaving me aside? Why does he not keep his word? So they have this festival called Hira Panchami. And Maharaj Prataparudra that year instructed the servants, you do it up big. Festivals in the 11th canto, Krishna gives the instructions they should be observed as opulently as possible. So he brought out all the everything, the opulent paraphernalia of worship out of his storehouse, personal storehouse, and out of the deity storehouse. They did it up so big, and Mother Lakshmi was carried to the Gundicha with all hundreds of servants of Mother Lakshmi, and they were all decked out. They had chamras and umbrellas and bells, and it was such an opulent procession. And they were going to Gundicha, and they found the servants of Jagannath, and what did they do? They grabbed them and they threw them at the feet of Mother Lakshmi. They beat them and they scolded them. What are you doing? Where's your master? Why are you taking him away from us? Why haven't you brought him to our worshipful mistress? And they had to submit. And they prayed to her, please forgive us. Yes, we will bring him. We will get him. Yes, no worries. Srup Damodar Goswami said, I have never seen such impudence on the part of a wife or lover before. I've never heard of such impudence in my entire life. I've heard of the queens of Dwarka when they were upset with Krishna, or even the gopis that sometimes when they're mad, they'll take off their garments and sit down on the floor and scratch the floor with their nails and sulk and really let their husband know they were dissatisfied. But Goddess of Fortune, she doesn't take off her opulent clothing. She doesn't put on old clothing. She puts on her best saris, her brightest, most opulent jewelry, and she goes out in full opulence. And Srup Damodar can't believe it. Wow! And Srup Damodar Goswami, in the meantime, before they saw the procession, he had been glorifying Vrindavan and the gopis and Srimati Radharani, telling of all the different kinds of lovers, of heroines that there are. Some are restless, some are sober, some are in between. There are left-wing gopis, there are right-wing gopis, so many different categories. Lord Chaitanya was in ecstasy. He was absorbed in Vrindavan, and Srup Damodar was glorifying Vrindavan to no end also. He was saying, nobody but the gopis can completely capture the mind of Krishna. Nobody. And Srivas, hearing this, said, wait a minute. Hold on. Just look at my goddess of fortune. Look at her opulence. Consider the opulence of Vaikuntha. Unlimited opulence. How can you say Vrindavan is more opulent than Vaikuntha or the gopis who simply wear, you know, stones from the, you know, from Govardhan or jewels? Or, you know, simple coward village girls. How can you say they're more opulent? Srupa Damodar said, oh, Krishna's too, Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the origin, the supreme personality, the origin of all Vishnu forms. His opulence makes the Vishnus look like nothing. The opulences of Vrindavan, although covered with sweetness, are far greater than the opulences of Vaikuntha. With the outward glance, you may think, oh, there's just some, you know, forest trees. Though every one of those trees are desire trees. You see the cows roaming in the pastures. All those are wish-fulfilling cows, kamadhenus. But the Brajvasis are so satisfied in their service and their love, their relationship with Krishna, they don't ask for any opulences. They don't ask for anything but milk and fruits and flowers from these trees and cows. The entirety of the Vaikuntha planets, the opulence all added together, doesn't amount to one grain of Vrindavan. It's Chintamani. The gopis decorate themselves with Chintamani jewels. Every word is a song, every step is a dance. This Brahmani fulgence that's mentioned in this purport, it's there in personification, it's all pervading, and it's fully blissful, the service of Krishna. Simply absorbed in the relationship of loving service as Krishna's my best friend, he's my lover, he's my son, he's my master. The opulence is so much greater in Krishna than in Vishnu. Vishnus line up to see Krishna or serve Krishna. They come with him when he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he exhibits his different forms, they're there to serve. Mahavishnu steals the sons of the Brahmins so that he can have the darshan of Krishna. They know who their master is. Krishna. So much more attractive than opulence himself. So when Srivas Pandit heard these glorifications of the gopis, of the Brajvasis and Vrindavan, he didn't go, ah, and defeated. He started to chant and dance in ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased when Srivas was glorifying Lakshmi and Vaikuntha. He says, it seems as if the mood of Narada Muni is overcoming you, Srivas. But he very happily accepted defeat, hearing the glories of Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was certified by his spiritual master to be a Vaikuntha man and a Vrindavan man. Externally, sadhana bhakti. Internally, raga bhakti, prema bhakti. And he gave us this process of Nam Sankirtan, the Sankirtan movement, to help us get to the lotus feet of Krishna. Srivas also was like that. When they first met Nityananda just down the street in Nandana Acharya's house, no one could understand who Nityananda was. He was sitting there absorbed in meditation, obviously feeling ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya had been so eager to have his association, his dear brother, to come and accompany him in the kirtans, the Sankirtan movement. He asked Srivas to chant one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. When I was with Vaish and his devotees, I started to read this verse, and Vaish goes, hold on, do you mind if we chant this verse? I was very impressed. He and many of his disciples knew this verse. The translation, I won't even try, but the translation that Srivas, the verse he quoted that entered into the ears of Nityananda was, wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue karnika flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijayanti garland. Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boy sang his glory. When Nityananda Prabhu heard that verse, immediately broke his meditation. He roared, jumped up, and began to cry and chant, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And then Lord Chaitanya said, continue reciting. And Srivas just let the nectar roll from his lips and tongue, the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, glorifying Krishna, Yasoda Nandan, the Shyama Sundar. And Nityananda, his ecstasy was uncontrollable. This all came from Srivas Thakur. Vaikuntha man. In Chaitanya Lila, all the devotees worship Lord Chaitanya, basically in Dasya Ras. In Krishna Lila, they may be intimate servants on the conjugal platform, Gadadhar Pandit, Jagadananda, Sarup Damodar Goswami, but none of that takes place in Gauranga Lila. It's an offense to think that there would be conjugal reciprocations between Lord Chaitanya and his eternal associates. The Gauranga Nagaras think like that. Great offense. But their service was covered primarily in Dasya. Or as Ramananda Roy and who was the other one? He said, friendship was there. Sakya Ras, Kashiswar and Govinda, Dasya Ras. Srivas, he had Vatsalya Ras for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, he and his wife. Wonderful pastime. One of these words, working hard, are, where should I quote it? Talks about hard labor. Srivas Thakur was visited by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he took sannyas, and he was going to, he had left Puri and he was going to Kumarahatta to visit the birth site of his spiritual master Ishwar Puri. And Srivas had relocated, and he and his family had left Navadvipa after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. The memories were too painful, blissfully painful, Vipralamba, but they wanted to move away. And they moved to Kumarahatta. And when Lord Chaitanya came, they worshipped him with all pomp and glory, with all opulence. And Lord Chaitanya said, Srivas, you're a simple Brahmin. You have a huge family, but it seems like you maintain them effortlessly. Because they were worshipping him so nicely. And he said, you don't have any anxieties for money? Anybody here have any anxiety about money? Wow, am I surrounded by Paramahamsas? I mean, that anxiety is like all pervasive in Kali Yuga, but I'm so happy. It shows why. In the right place, right time, right association, asking for your blessings. Now, Prabhupada says that the mind's business is not to be concerned about money. Krishna is the only maintainer. He supplies everything his devotee needs. Pure devotees have not an iota of doubt about that. So anyway, Srivas Thakur, when he's asked, so what's the secret? He said, well, I have my program. Huh? Yeah, it's the 1-2-3 program. If I fast for one day, okay, no one's given me any alms, no problem. Fast for 2 days, no problem. If I have nothing to provide for my family, I've taken a vow. I'll go tie a heavy weight around my neck and jump in the Ganga and give up this life. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with that absolute faith in Srivas in Krishna as his maintainer. He was so pleased. He said, Srivas, I give you the benediction that you will never suffer any want or any poverty. Even if Lakshmi Devi herself becomes poverty stricken and has to go door to door begging, you will not be disturbed in the least with any want or poverty. He was so pleased with that firm faith and that full surrender of Srivas Pandit. Another time, he tested Srivas Thakur about Lord Nityananda's position. Lord Nityananda, as we all well know, is an avadut. Now, we usually think about as antisocial, unconventional, erratic, crazy behavior as an avadut, but I'm going to see if my mind cooperates with me, if my spiritual master allow. Avadut, it's broken down into several syllables. Means inexhaustible. Ava. Va means totally renounced. Abba, Abba, do. Do means to be completely free from material bondage. Ta means to identify with Brahman, to be Brahman realized, tatvamasi, to realize you're the eternal servant of Krishna. Nityananda certainly fulfills all those definitions and more. And Srivas Thakur knew that. But Lord Chaitanya wanted to test him. He said, you know, this caste, this family of Nityananda, no one knows what they are. Aren't you concerned that your own caste, your own family will be deteriorated, that you'll lose your good reputation in society by housing Nityananda, associating with him and letting him stay with you? And Srivas Thakur, he said, you know, I don't care if I see Nityananda Prabhu holding a pot of wine in the association of women. I will never give up the worship of Nityananda. I will never, I will always take shelter at the lotus feet of Nityananda. And then he explained some positive things about Nityananda. He said, I know that he is your, is like your second body. For you, my Lord, the body and the self are the same. Nityananda, his every breath is simply for your pleasure. He only lives to give you pleasure. I will accept anyone who surrenders once unto your lotus feet, once as my worshipable Lord. I will respect them and worship them. What to speak of Nityananda Prabhu? I would never, no matter what he does to me, my caste, my family, my wealth, my life. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, he is saying that Nityananda can steal all my money. For devotees who have had their money stolen by another devotee, I've talked to devotees. You know, your investment gets lost, you've been ripped off or cheated. It's a blow. It's tough to you know, simulate. Shiva said he can steal all my money. He can destroy my reputation, ruin my family relations. He can even kill me if he wishes, and I will stay surrendered at his lotus feet. And Lord Chaitanya was sitting down with Srivas, immediately, oh, and jumped up and embraced Srivas Thakur to his chest. You can just imagine this huge embrace. And he said, Srivas Pandit, you have such faith in my Nityananda? He said, I give you charge of Nityananda. Take good care of him. He gave him eternal devotional service to Lord Nityananda. And he said, I won't mix the two pastimes. And, in this way, he was so pleased to Srivas, and he gave the same benediction. He said, Lakshmi may have to beg door to door, but you'll never suffer any want or poverty. In fact, not only you and your wife and your brothers and their wives, servants, maidservants, even the dogs and cats, domesticated animals of your household, will all have pure Krishna bhakti. So pleased with Srivas Thakur. I wanted to segue into another pastime before I mixed it. Let's see if it will come to mind. It might not. Now, probably a good time to say, Kibaliba Shivasera Udhara Charitra Yanhara Charana Dule Samsara Pavitra. What can I say about the magnanimous characteristics of Srivas? The dust of his lotus feet purifies the entire universe. If you look up magnanimous in the dictionary, it says generous and noble, especially in forgiving. So when we glorify the pure devotees like Srivas, so many pastimes, so many wonderful pastimes. There are four places that Lord Chaitanya would exhibit, manifest himself, even though he was in Jagannath Puri, Mother Sachi's home, in Lord Nityananda's performance at Kirtan, the house of Raghava Pandit, and whenever Srivas Thakur would have kirtans, Lord Chaitanya would come and begin to dance in those kirtans. He said others might not see.